The reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, and you'll find it in your Bibles on page 1139. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body and many members, as these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Thank you so much. Okay, Will will be bringing us our word this evening, and I pray for you.
Please.
Father, we give thanks to you for our rector. We pray for his word this evening. We'll pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of our hearts to receive your word. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've had a roller coaster of sermons, and then the parish weekend, we've had a reminder of our vision, what it means to be a church that worships God, makes friends, and then changes the world. And then we had our staycation. Wasn't that an amazing weekend?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we loved it. Some fantastic teaching over the weekend as well. And so good to see so many of you guys there supporting it. And we will be doing another one. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We're just kind of trying to discern what time of year is best, and hopefully we'll get a questionnaire sent out this week to see what you guys think. And so now we are in a little mini-series, just two. So tonight is Serving Sunday, and then next Sunday is Stewardship Gift Day. So it's like a harvest festival where we give thanks, but also it's just an annual reminder on how important it is to review annually what we give to the church. But so back to this Sunday, Serving Sunday. I wonder if there is a perception that because we're a big church, and we have a wonderful staff team, that perhaps we don't really need your help very much. I don't know if that resonates with anybody here, but nothing could be further from the truth. It's interesting. I've been following a thread on Facebook, a church leaders group, and there was big church envy. There were people with big churches saying, we need more help, and it's, having a big staff team is, it takes up, we need an HR person, it soaks up so much time. And then you had leaders of small churches saying, get out of it. I dream of having one member of staff. There was zero sympathy. But I think the truth is that, a church that's five times as big has five times as many problems to deal with, pastoral issues to deal with, as well, of course, as five times as many opportunities. Healthy larger churches may not appear to be as volunteer dependent, but the percentage of non-staff people, i.e. that's most of you guys here, engaged in vital ministry tends to be at least as high. I mean, I couldn't say this really at the other two services today, but Mikey, how many people are up on the balcony? four people up on the balcony. I lost count of the people on the band. There's Matt getting communion ready. There's Tracy on welcome with some of the youth. For, you know, I haven't even thought about that. I think the Coopers are on hospitality tonight. And it's dangerous making a list, I know, because if I've missed you out, I'm sorry. Okay, a prayer ministry team, there we go. That's a lot of people involved. This is just one service on one Sunday. We do. It's a constant struggle. Oh, yeah, and we've also got the drains clearance team is on standby. Okay, you may think I'm joking, but when we kicked off our parish weekend, the drains blocked, but we had the team on standby, ready to help. My goodness, Ian, you're like an angel to me sometimes. If the drains go wrong, well, in fact, I'm not even going to go there, okay? I'm not even going to go there. But this is a very old building, so they don't work very well. But it seems as soon as we've grown one team to cope with the growth, then it's the next team is going, well, I need an announcement on Sunday. You know, we're very short of helpers in my group. And it's just like a never-ending thing. So basically, I'm not going to apologize, but, you know, once a year, we're just throwing it out there. We need perhaps a few more people to step up. We're looking at this wonderful passage that Lucia read to us, and I suspect they had their own struggles. Yes, there was a struggle with persecution, there was a struggle with Jews getting on with Gentiles, but I'm also quite sure there's a struggle with finding sides people and worship leaders in the church in Rome. And Romans is a wonderful, wonderful explanation of Christian theology. It's meaty. It explains how the gospel works, what the gospel promises us. And it's interesting that the passage begins with the word, therefore, therefore. It's like me saying to my kids, and I think they've gone to their group, so I'm safe here. I'm treating you to a summer holiday, kids. It's all expenses paid. You're not going to have to dip into your pocket money. It's going to be abroad. It's going to be in France. We're going to be living for 2 weeks by the edge of a lake. We're taking two canoes. It's going to be absolutely amazing. You're not going to have to spend any of your own money. And you know what? I'm even going to, Mommy and Daddy are going to drive through the night so that you just wake up in the morning and you're there. Okay? Therefore. Now, you know what's coming, don't you? Therefore, because of all that love being poured out, because we're going the extra mile to give the kids an awesome holiday, therefore, you are going to help wash the dishes. You are going to help sweep the tent up. You're going to help by not arguing and getting on with getting on with each other. So you see what that word, therefore, leads on to. So, because of everything I'm giving you, therefore do this. So, in view of God's mercy, Paul writes, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's such a powerful verse, that. Now, so what does it mean? Well, this is all about them surrendering themselves in what Paul describes as a living sacrifice. Now, that word sacrifice, it's a bit triggerish now because it conjures up, you know, people being slaughtered, you know, dying, stuff dying. And of course, back then, sacrifices were all about animals being killed. So it could be a pigeon, it could be if you were very poor, if you were very rich, you might get the priest to sacrifice a bull to atone for your sins. You know, the idea of that sacrificial system is something else would carry your sins and die in your place. But the sacrificial system, as far as Christians are concerned, came to an end when Jesus gave up his life as the one perfect and full sacrifice for our sins. So because of what Jesus has done, this once and for all sacrifice, because we are now going to be found innocent instead of guilty, we are now going to be given forgiveness instead of condemnation, we now have life instead of death. Because of all that, therefore, we don't have to offer burnt offerings of dead animals, but we do have to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. So your next question is, Will, what does being a living sacrifice look like? Good question. Well, I think it's living a life surrendered to God. In short, that's what it is. Don't forget that sin is really just rebellion. If you know, people say the word sin to you, you immediately think, oh yeah, it's a sin. He robbed a bank, or she did this, or so-and-so stabbed so-and-so. Actually, what sin is rebellion against God. It's saying to God, you know what, I know what you teach, I know what you want from me, that Lord, but you know what? I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. That is the essence of sin. That is rebellion. So a living sacrifice is the opposite to that. It's a life of surrendering to God. Now, that word surrender, okay, the Brexit bill is the surrender bill. It carries all sorts of connotations now, doesn't it? If you say surrender, it's like a really negative word. You know, armies surrender when they're beaten. Okay? It might give you the impression that it's like somebody who's, imagine Iraq and you're a Christian and you get captured by ISIS. And you're forced to be a slave, and you refuse, so you're beaten, and you're beaten, and you're beaten into submission until you surrender and you just become a slave to the enemy. This is as far away as it is possible to get from that picture. This is a totally different sort of surrender. This is the sort of surrender that one part of a married couple might make for another. I surrender my place in the cozy warm on a freezing cold winter's morning, drinking my cup of coffee when my wife has to go off and do the school run. I surrender all that, and I go out and I get the ice scraper off, and I clear her car for her, and I start the engine, get it going a few seconds before she gets in. So that's a kind of stupid little analogy, but I'm happy to surrender like that. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, it's not because we're being hit over the head or being beaten up into submission that we might surrender. It's because of God's mercy to us, that he has sent his son to die for our sins on the cross when it should be us up on the cross. It's because of that that we gladly live lives that are surrendered to God. And therefore we live our lives in accordance with his will as best we can, for all of us have fallen short, for all fall short of the glory of God. But we try and do our best to live our life in accordance with his will. Now there are no ifs here. There are no buts here. This is for all of us. This is for anyone who has made the decision for Jesus, who have decided to follow Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing is if we get this right, we're told it is holy and pleasing to God. Now, it's so easy in Scripture just to read a line like that and think, yeah, great, it's holy and pleasing to God. Yeah, and move on to the next verse. Just imagine this for a moment. We're talking about the Creator God who put every star in the sky, who made each and every one of us, who knows us before time and will know us after time. This is our incredible Creator God. And if we do that, it is holy and pleasing to God. that should encourage us to do our best to be like this, because God finds it pleasing. So he then goes on, I'm missing some verses out, but he then goes on to describe a body. A wonderful visual image here, one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. My foot obviously doesn't have the same function as my ear. And he uses that as a picture of how the church should be. Verse 5, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Each member belongs to the others. Just let that settle in your heart. You're the member, okay? Each and every one of us are members of this body. Paul says each member belongs to the others. So this is the point where we look around and we think, ooh, this is quite intimate in terms of fellowship and mutual support and friendship and hanging out and making sure that person down the other end of the pew is okay. Okay? Each member belongs to all the others. And he then lists the various ways we can help one another. Service is one of those things, to build each other up. He says, verse 6, we have different gifts, and then lists them, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Just some of the spiritual gifts that Paul lists. So the message is that just as our bodies need the rest of the body to function correctly, so the church needs all of us to serve in our different areas of gifting in order for the church to function as one efficient working body. So I hope you can see that serving in one way or another in church, and I'm just going to put a little caveat on this. There will be some people for whom, for various reasons, you just simply can't do that. And God sees that, God understands that, and your act of service is then to pray, because anyone who is not in a coma or dead can pray, okay? I hope you can see that this is not an optional add-on for a disciple. I think we're all used to kind of optional add-ons, aren't we? I've just confessed, I've just become a middle-aged man in Lycra. Okay, I know, it was not a pretty sight. It was not a pretty sight. Sadly, my wife saw me, and particularly this bit of me, on full display in this skin-tight Lycra thing that I bought, because I've started to bicycle in order to get fit. And Darren's not here. Darren Vincent, ex-Royal Marine, he takes part in Iron Man challenges. He took me out on a bicycle ride on Friday. I'm not sure if those of you who don't, want to get rid of me had paid him to beast me so hard that I was going to have a heart attack. But it was interesting, when I went onto this website called Wiggle to buy all the cycling kit, as soon as you click to basket, fluorescent Lycra spray-on shirt, immediately at the bottom it said, would you also like to buy a spray-on Lycra pair of fluorescent gloves? Or some fluorescent spray-on shoes, and it just kind of went on like that. Tempting us. These weren't essentials, these were add-ons. Okay, but serving in the church is not like that. Not like that. It's just like being part of a church is not an optional add-on to salvation in Christ. It is inseparably bound up with it. So when you meet somebody who says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you go, really, so am I. I worship at Buckingham Parish Church. Where do you worship? Oh, yeah, I have quite a private faith. I don't really go to church. I don't need to. I just read my Bible and do my old stuff at home. Big red flashing warning lights, guys, okay? coming to church, being part of a church, is not an optional add-on if you are a Christian. And also, once you've joined a church, once you're part of the family, serving in a ministry is not an optional extra, but it is an obligation. It's just like my foot is obliged to support the rest of the body. My foot can't say to me, listen, Will, that bicycle ride was absolutely exhausting. I've decided I'm just going to part company with you. I'm going to do my own thing. Yeah, the rest of the body will be fine without me. But it won't be, because I'll be left limping and hobbling around. We all have our different gifts, and we're all called to minister. Now, I know I've used one word, volunteer, just briefly in my introduction, but I don't like this word, volunteer. And I want to explain why, because I think it resonates really well with what Paul was writing about. Now, if you see, volunteering is something that you're asked to do sometimes right off the bat when you join an organization. So a few years ago, I joined a sailing club, and the first thing I got was, you are required to volunteer. I thought, wow, if only I could run my church like that. You're required to volunteer. And it gets people engaged, which is great. And, perhaps you can give them a flashy card with the big words, volunteer. And it's helpful, because you could say, go and see a volunteer, and they'll tell you where the lavatories are. It's helpful. They might be able to answer your questions, give you directions. And that's all the good thing. But I balk at the secular nature of what it means to volunteer. You see, to volunteer means that you are an outside resource stepping into an organization in need. Volunteering is what we do when we pick up rubbish in the park, or help man the tombola. It might be I'm asked to volunteer, at a school event, for example. In other words, it's what you do at a place or for something that's important to you. Please don't hear me wrong. I'm not decrying any volunteering activities. But it's not what you do at a place that belongs to you. It's just like I can't babysit my own kids. It's called parenting. Okay? Now, those of you who've got kids who need babysitting, yeah, you could try and ask me to babysit, and I might come and babysit your kids. But I can't babysit my own kids. They're my kids. It's called parenting. Okay? You cannot volunteer at your own church, because the church belongs to you in the same way that your family does. So, volunteer in most cases is just kind of passing through. It's not permanent. They're doing something really helpful, but it's not the same as belonging to something. It's not the same as contributing to something that's bigger than you, something that's part of who you are. I would suggest that BPC, for those of you who call this your spiritual home, BPC is part of who you are. That's why when people leave the church, for whatever reason, it's terribly emotional. But you remember last Sunday evening, Danny's farewell service at 11:15, I think we were all crying. It's because he was part of our family, and he's now moving away. That's why it's so hurtful to me as a church leader when people, they get upset for whatever reason and they leave the church. It hurts me right here. One of the wonderful things about the parish weekend was this sense of what family meant. I can't tell you how happy, I was just walked around with this great big smile on my face, because it gave me so much pleasure to see people from different parts of our family, okay, different congregations, talking to each other and making new friends and getting on. And there was a wonderful sense of family growing. Now, that's kind of the end of that. I want to spend a few minutes now. We're going to go off-piste here, and it's not quite open mic, but we're getting there. And Ollie's going to come up, and I just want to we've asked a few people, we can have a few more. What we're doing tonight is you've been given this little form. Now, I know some of you are already up to your eyeballs in serving the Lord through various activities in church. So I totally get that. But even if there's just two or three of you here tonight who perhaps have been waiting for an opportunity just to step forward and perhaps having prayed and discerned where you might serve, to fill in those forms. They're available at the back. There's pens at the back. You could drop them off through the gold box at the back tonight, or you could take them home and pray over them and then bring them back next week. But we used to have a welcome card that had some tick, this was before GDPR, that had some tick boxes on the back. And this young man received one of those cards. And what happened, Ollie?
Well, it was not far after I just began to attend this church, and I received this little yellow card with all these jobs on there, and I was really praying at the time, thinking to myself, come on, Lord, show me, where can I serve in this church? And this one for the caretaker or job man kept coming out at me, and I thought, I'll tick it. They probably won't take any notice. And it turned out that Will called me about a week later, and he said, Ollie, we're so excited that you've ticked this. We've been praying for ages. It's 20 hours a week. And I thought to myself, 20? And anyway, I integrated into the church that way, and it was a wonderful way to come into the church family and really make use of my time. So,
now, can I just say something in my defense? We did have a paid role in church, and I thought that's what he was inquiring about. Okay, please, I don't want you to think that if you tick one of those boxes that I'm going to be ringing you and saying it's only 20 hours a week. But it's great. And how did that help you sort of become part of the church family, Ollie?
I think, to be honest with you, being a little bit of an introvert myself, it was great to be able to come into the church. I'd have to integrate with the other staff team members, and then people would come in during the day, and I'd have opportunities to speak to them. So it was nothing to do with the work. And quite often, you'll probably know yourselves when you do God's work that's actually the case. You gain far more from it than you give. So for me, that was a great way of entering into serving Christ.
Fantastic. So I think, where's Yvonne? Yvonne, come up here. So Yvonne, you were at the parish weekend. What happened?
I was, yeah. I was drawn to the social action workshop, and within that they were saying about the various things that this church does, which was one of the reasons when we moved here 3 years ago we joined this church. But one of the things that they were saying was that there was the life skills starting, the Christians Against Poverty, and one of the things they needed was someone to run the creche. So checked out the times quickly, offered myself for that, and very quickly a second person offered who had been thinking about doing it but wanted not to be on their own. So within the very short space, there were two of us. And quite interestingly, in the last week, I've bumped into that person many times around Buckingham. So that feeling of belonging to the family and serving together was really quite strong. So I was just the last piece of the jigsaw along with Sue. And it's been really nice how people have encouraged me and welcomed me into that role. So serving feels more part of the church. Yes, it's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Mel. You've just come up here. Tell us, how did you, first of all, why are you here at Buckingham Parish Church?
So I think it's like 3 years ago, I was quite lost, just finished uni, was not in a very good place mentally. And if I'm honest, I was dragged along by friends and listened to your talk.
Do you want to name the friend?
Mikey Roskell.
Yay, well done.
And you did a talk on the Sermon on the Mount, being salt and light, and I suddenly realised that I wasn't being the light and I was just kind of hiding all the time. Alpha happened to be starting on the following Wednesday, and they needed helpers for children's work, so I kind of just thought, do you know what, why not, I'll just I'm in such a bad place, I may as well just do it. So I threw myself in, and then within like a week, I just suddenly felt like I wasn't on my own anymore. And then from then, I just tried lots of different, like praying about different places I should be, and then I've ended up in worship team, and that's kind of where I've ended up. That's
wonderful.
My calling.
Well,
so I encourage everyone to just give it a go.
And this is your second service today.
Third.
And you're not feeling great either, are you?
No.
Well, well done. Bless you. Now, Joe Wigley, where are you? Yeah, aren't you supposed to be saying something? So Joe is our pastoral worker, and you need a bit of help, don't you?
I do. Hello. We have a few people who are going to be going in hospital soon. We have families who are in need, and I'm thinking we need a list of people who are willing to cook a meal for these people. And it's not a difficult job, cooking a meal. You don't even have to see anyone particularly. But you know, that's serving other people within our family. And that would be great. So if at the end you feel that you could cook a meal or stick a meal in the freezer when you've got leftovers, it'd be great for me to have a list. So that would be lovely. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe. And on to another Joe. Joe Bryce, our family's worker. Joe, what are the needs in your... Are you doing all of SIPFAM or...?
I can do. So, first of all, my role is families team leader here, and I think that I have the best role ever. I think we all feel that way about our ministry areas, don't we? But I really do. We have so much fun. What I do is ARC, Messy Church, go into schools and do some fantastic things, and being part of the families team is brilliant fun. We get messy and creative, and it's great. And we get to tell people all about Jesus across our town, which is great. So if you would like to come and ask me some things about any of those ministry areas, that'd be great. I'm specifically looking for people to come along to Messy Church and be befrienders to the families that come, to kind of encourage them into our family services on Sundays. That's really important to us. And schools ministry always needs some extra support too. Now, for BPC Kids, another great ministry area, Jade is definitely looking for people to help out in this group that runs at 6 p.m. It's a team that really would love to see encouragement for the children that attend. It's a growing group of children, and they are thirsty for Jesus and want to know more and more about who he is and how that can be outlived in their lives and be salt and light themselves. So please could you come and have a chat with me at the end a little bit more about that, because you know you are the people that can really invest in them and help them to be stronger in their own walk with Jesus too.
And I think we think that if you're making use of the groups, we've kind of got to the stage where I think if your kids are going upstairs, you really do need to, whether it's once a month, once a term or something, just help get on that team, because we are managing, but the teams lack depth. So what happens is those on the teams are on duty in a very repetitive manner. And if we just had a few more people on each team, it would mean the duties didn't swing around quite so fast. It would just make it easier for everybody.
Absolutely. If you have youth, then you know serving with the kids is great, because I'm sure the youth don't really want their parents with them, as it applies to us. But yes, definitely. So do feel.
Am I allowed to say particularly men?
Men, yes, so absolutely, yes. We need support in the 9:30 as well, but men in the evening, you know, we have a lot of boys. It's very boy heavy, and having good role models for them is so important. And can I say, the youth also would love to have some extra support. I'm getting a big nod from Mel. They're at Blaze, which is midweek on a Tuesday, and Fuel, but also the Sunday evening too, because their group has grown. They get about 15 or so up there at the moment, and actually that's too many all at once.
Yeah.
And so they would love to be able to split into two groups, younger and older, and they need extra support to do that, and you guys too could be great role models for them.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Joe. Is there anyone else who would like to share a little testimony about taking a risk, which of course was the theme of our staycation, and stepping up into a group. It doesn't have to be since the staycation, because there's hardly been any time to do that. But anyone here who perhaps felt a bit brave, stepped up into a group and has got some positive feedback to encourage everybody else? Not everybody at the same time, please. Just Cheryl. Yeah, the rest of you just wait your turn, okay?
Chris and I head up the prayer ministry team, and it's just such a privilege, a wonderful, wonderful privilege, to stand alongside somebody and allow them to share their deepest needs, and to be able to pray for them and to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And it's so exciting when you invite the Holy Spirit to come and you just stand back and watch God working in somebody's life. We really quite need more people to pray at 9:30. We've got quite a lot of people who are willing for 6 o'clock and for 11:15, but we just need some people who would be willing to come and to be available to pray with people in need at 9:30.
Wonderful, thank you, Cheryl. And we'll be available around if you want to talk to anybody about anything. Paul Burgess, why don't you come up here? We've got you here. Come on, quickly. This is just going to be short and sweet. Paul is our prisons minister. Yay. Did you know we had a prison ministry? This is it. This is him.
Yeah, thank you.
How did it go? What were you doing today and how did it go?
Well, there's small numbers in the prison that I visited, but it was very encouraging. And I feel very encouraged. It's a multi-faith chaplaincy, but they're very keen to promote the Christian faith. And they've asked me to lead a service next week. So I might be looking at Romans.
Do you want to borrow my dog collar?
No. No, it's just a case of stepping out. It's where you feel comfortable. And hopefully there's going to be more about what we do as a church to encourage and help people in these circumstances. It's a fantastic ministry.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much, Paul. Bless you.
Thank you.
So if you're interested in that, you know to go and see Paul. There's all sorts of other ways you can get involved, but I think that's probably enough for now. So I think what we're going to do is, why don't we just take a little leg stretch? I want you to stand up. I want you to turn to somebody. If you're really brave, somebody you don't know, and if you are already serving, you might just say you're the area of serving. If you don't, perhaps share your gifting is, and take it from there.